The third reading of Parshas Bahar opens where we left off. So things are going to be great in Israel. And the Torah says in chapter 25, verse 19, V'nosna ha'aretz pirya, the land will give its produce, its yield. V'achaltem l'seva, you'll eat to satiation. V'yishavtem lovetach ba'artzachem. Allah, pardon me. And you will dwell securely upon her. Of course, referring to the land of Israel. So the obvious question is, didn't we just hear this? Didn't the second reading conclude with the notion that we will dwell on the land securely? So Rashi says, V'nosna ha'aretz v'goymer, that the message of this pasuk, which starts out, the land will give, etc. And the word etc. indicates that Rashi is explaining the entire pasuk. And he says, V'yishavtem levetach aleha, and you will dwell securely upon it. So what does that mean, that the land will give its produce and you will dwell securely? What's the relationship between one detail and the other? Why you will have the land giving its produce and you'll dwell securely? So Rashi says that even though you're going to be in a situation where you're not going to be working, loy sidagu mishnas betzedes, that the Jewish people will not have to worry about a famine, about a time when the heavens go dry and there's no rain. And that's the meaning of you'll dwell securely, that here we speak not about security, but about economic prosperity. V'yachaltem l'seva. V'yachaltem l'seva is an additional blessing. Not only will the agriculture go extraordinarily well, but you'll even have good digestion, so to speak. Af b'techa ma'ayim tehebe b'racha. Everything will be in a blessed way. Everything will go extraordinarily tzugizunt, extraordinarily well. That the land will produce wonderful produce, there'll be great economic prosperity, and people will eat well, and they'll be sated. And then Hashem says like this, V'chiseim ruman neichal. And then should you say, but what will we eat? Bashona hashviyas, in the seventh year. We haven't planted, and we hadn't harvested. So if we don't plant, and we don't harvest, then how in heaven do we eat? It's a good question.
Gathered it up.
Huh? Gathered it up. Gathered it, you ate it. How are you going to live? It's a good question. So this is a good question. Hashem says, the answer is, V'tzivisi es b'chosi. I will send, I will direct my blessing, Lachem. B'shona hashishis in the sixth year, V'asa es ha'tvua l'shalesh hashanu. It'll make enough produce, it'll make enough of a yield to give you for 3 years. So let's take a look at, we'll start with Rashi. V'loy ne'asif. V'loy ne'asif means el habayis. We're not allowed to do a proper harvest. We can't gather the food and bring it home. Now you can take food from the field and you can eat it, but you can't store it. You can't do a proper harvest in which you bring the yield home and put it away for storage. That's what you can't do. So it's not as if you're harvesting, and because you're harvesting properly and putting food away, you're going to have food during the long, dark winter. That's not the case here. When things are growing in the field, you'll eat them, but when things aren't growing in the field, when winter hits, what are you going to eat? So we didn't plant and we didn't harvest. Estavua seinu. So here is very interesting. If you didn't plant tavua, how would you harvest tavua? Tavua usually means the cereals, grain. And grain are not perennials. They don't grow by themselves, whether it's wheat or barley. You have to plant every year. And if you don't plant, they don't grow. What does grow by itself? What grows by itself is things that grow off the trees, fruit. So Rashi says that tavua here does not necessarily, or perhaps does necessarily not mean what it usually means. We're not talking about the five grains. We're not talking about corn. We're not talking about cereals. What are we talking about? Kigoyin, Rashi says, for example, yayin upedes ha'ilan. We speak here about wine, which obviously is an eye towards the vineyard, and other fruits of the tree. Now, fruits of the tree, these things grow by themselves. You don't plant trees every year. You plant trees once really in a lifetime. And then the trees continue to provide all kinds of produce. Truth be told, a good farmer who has an orchard that has to be maintained takes care of his trees on a regular basis. But even if he didn't take care of trees for a year, they still produce. Maybe not at full tilt, maybe not as good as it might have, but it still produces. And this is the point then. Okay, so there won't be bread. We'll go on the Atkins diet. I'm just joking. We'll be eating lots of fruits, lots of fruity fiber. No, it's not going to work either. Not only do we not plant, so we don't have basic carbohydrates, we don't have complex carbohydrates either because there's no fruits that are going to be available. Why not? Because we couldn't harvest it. So the only way you can have fruit during the winter in antiquity is if you harvested it during the summer, allowed it to cure or dry over the summer, which is the origin of the word kayetz, which means summer in Hebrew, but really means to dry out or cure. And then you have dried figs and dried dates and so on and so forth. But that didn't happen this year because we weren't allowed to harvest. Then Rashi adds that there might also be some actual corn or grain or cereals, and those would be sfichin haboyin me'alehin. Sometimes things just grow by themselves. Maybe a latent seed that had been left behind in the ground. If you planted a field, there might be some kind of growth in the next year. Some of the stalks may have shed their seeds inadvertently planting, and so something grows. But Rashi's emphasis is first not in the sfichim. The sfichim are far and few in between. You can't rely on sfichim, on things that grew kind of fortuitously by accident. So you have to rely on the things that you would have been able to expect. Because the Torah emphasizes here, loy nizru v'loy nesfu. We did not plant, we also did not gather. What were we relying on? The few things that grew by themselves? For this you have to rule out the idea of loy nesef. So therefore Rashi starts off with yayin and peiros ilon, and he says, v'loy nesef, we talk really about everything. The things that grow by themselves. So Hashem says, "Vitzivisias berchasi, I will send my blessing." And it says specifically, "L'shalosh hashanim." How do we get to 3 years? You didn't plant on the seventh year; that's 1 year. Why does the Torah say 3 years? So Rashi explains it in the following way. He says, invariably, grain is planted in the beginning of the winter, in what we call the month of Cheshvan. The holidays are over. The rainy season is about to begin or has started, and we immediately plant. The ground has now already been moistened. It's not a hard crust. It's now fertile. We plant the seeds in the ground. That's the beginning of the winter. Then what happens? And then it grows all winter. Farmers don't work that hard during the winter. Maybe a week or two of hard work, of planting everything morning to night, and then that's it. Stuff's planted. All you got to do is kind of maintain, but there isn't even much maintenance. And as the long, wet winter continues on, there's a lot of activity beneath the ground. And that's in the hands of Hashem. That's not what the farmer does. And then what happens is in the month of Nisan, which is the Chodesh HaAviv, the time of spring, all of a sudden fresh grain sprouts forth. The tall grass and the barley grows very quickly. By the time the 15th of the month comes along, we already have the earliest cuttings. And that, of course, is the barley that's offered as the Omer Korban, then we start a count. And then 49 days later, for Shavuot, we've already harvested some of the wheat. In fact, we bring a new offering of wheat on the holiday of Shavuot. So where's the 3 years? Okay, Rashi says like this. Number one, what you planted in the sixth year has to provide for Miktsas Hashishis, for the latter half of the sixth year. The sixth year means I planted on the sixth, I'm going to be eating from the month of Nisan onward. Everything ripens, things develop, and now I have what to eat all winter long, all summer long. Okay, that takes me from Nisan va'ad Rosh Hashanah. In the sixth year, from Nisan to Rosh Hashanah, I'm eating the results of the work I did from Cheshvan to Nisan. That's typical, that's normal. Then comes Ulashana Hashviyas. Then the whole seventh year, there's no planting, nothing whatsoever. So what am I eating all whole seventh year? From Tishrei to Nisan, which I have to have from last year. It's got to provide for me. And then it has to provide for me when a normal new harvest would begin in the month of Nisan until the next Tishrei. That has to be provided for me then also. Okay, fine. And then there's the eighth year. What's the eighth year? Well, in the eighth year, Yizru b'shminis b'cheshvan. We're going to be planting at the beginning of the eighth year. However, we're not going to be cutting it until v'yiktzuru, pardon me, and they'll only cut it b'nisan. So that means, really, until the latter half of the eighth year, until spring of the eighth year, we're not going to be having new grain. So Rashi learns that shalish hashanim does not mean 3 years. Shalish hashanim means in 3 years. Half of the sixth, all of the seventh, and half of the eighth. That's what we're talking about over here. Essentially, really, it's 2 years. But kind of three seasons. The Torah says that this will go in such an enormous way that v'zaratem es hashana hashminis, you'll plant in the eighth year, which kind of dovetails into and fits very snugly with what Rashi says. V'achaltem in atvua yoshan, you'll be eating old grain ad hashana hachis, until the eighth year. Ad baye tvuasa, until you're able to harvest and bring in all the things you planted in the eighth year, which is only in the ninth year, you'll still be eating from the sixth year. You'll be eating tvuasa techul yoshan, you'll still be eating the old grain because you won't even need the new grain yet. So we're hearing about remarkable kind of prosperity. Now, with regard to the Torah's emphasis, v'yishavtem lovetach aleha, now that you heard about this extraordinary prosperity that's going to visit the Jewish people, Techizkuni says, and this is what the message is, you will not be exiled, meaning you will not be forced to go elsewhere to find food, because your land will provide all the food you need. Now we know the meaning, or so to speak, the novelty of v'achaltem l'soiva, v'yishavtem lavetach aleha. You'll eat to satiation, and then you'll be able to dwell securely upon her. So the Chizkuni says, now that you read verse 20 and 21 and 22, and you know that the land of Israel is going to have such an extraordinary yield, such an amazing amount of produce, that it'll keep you going for the years when you didn't plant, so now you know that you're going to dwell securely. You will not have to go anywhere else for the food. Non-secure dwelling doesn't, says the Chizkuni, mean that there's going to be an attack, a terrorist attack, or a foreign marauding army or force. It means is you will not have to displace yourself and be at the will of others. Because when you don't have food for your country and you have to provide for people to be able to eat, that's not secure. That's not a secure position to be in. You put yourself at the mercy of other governments, of other countries. Not a healthy situation. The Or HaChaim says, it goes the other way around. The land of Israel will experience so much prosperity that what is only natural? That neighboring countries will start to become jealous. And this is how it's been historically. When there was extraordinary prosperity, people became decadent and weak, and in other countries that were starving, then went and rapidly attacked the countries that had prosperity. And since the countries that were prospering were decadent and weak, they would fall. And this was the story of human history, of jealousy, of competition, of the mighty abusing the meek. So the Or HaChaim's point is, he says, now that you hear the kind of prosperity Israel will have, you'll imagine, surely there'll be jealousy. Surely others will come to invade. Not so. Not so, the Torah promises. You'll eat to satiation. You'll have such an amazing economy. And yet, v'yishavtem lavetach aleha, you'll dwell securely upon the land. Nobody will bother you. Now, Rashi explained this idea of the 3 years as he explained. However, you should know that there are other Rishonim who explain it a little bit differently. They suggest that we speak here about the year of the Jubilee, when it's literally 3 years without a fresh crop. And so that's the meaning of the 3 years. But according to Rashi, in the year of the Jubilee, it would come out not 3 years, but then it would come out actually 4 years, an additional year. Because you had the whole of the eighth, which is the Jubilee, and then part of the ninth. But at any rate, this is the upshot. You'll be in the land, you're not going to plant it, the fields will lie fallow, and yet, Hashem says, it's going to be great. So what's the question that you could and should rightfully ask me now? In the Parsha of Behar, we started by talking about Shemitah. And then we talked about the Jubilee. And the Torah was very clear, very explicit, no planting, no development, no growth, no harvesting. I mean, I shouldn't say no growth, no harvesting. And then we heard about the idea of cheating in business, taking advantage of selling real estate. And then we heard about the idea of exploitation by verbiage, not even through the economy. And then we heard that Hashem's promise for keeping all these mitzvahs is going to be that you have secure dwelling in the land of Israel, be no exile. The Torah comes along and further emphasizes that everything's going to be great. And now, after all that, then we get the question. Okay, by the way, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? How are we going to survive? So the Rebbe, page Shin Ayin Hei, Simen Yud Beis, asked the question, Madua Meifia HaShaila, why does the question, Ma Neichal Bashana HaShviyis, what will we eat in the seventh year? And the answer that comes in, Vitzivisies Berchasi Lachem, I will direct my blessing to you in the sixth year. Why does it show up here? Why does it only show up in chapter 25, verses 19 through 21? La'achar hashlom as kol dini ha-shmitah. The Torah already conveyed all the laws of the Shemitah. And it conveyed all the laws of the Yova. And then we have psukim that speak about other things altogether, to the point that we weren't even sure if the rejoinder pasuk that concludes the second reading is even talking about Shemitah. So actually a chiddush, a novelty of Rashi, that is even talking about Shemitah. Well, in that case, if this is a real question, if that's the question you're worried about, where should the question have shown up? In its rightful place. And you come along, Moshe says, listen here, Kindalach, you're not going to plant. You come to the land of Israel, you work for 6 years, and the seventh year you're not going to be planting. And there'll be no agricultural activity and no harvesting. The people should have right away said, really? So what are we going to eat? Or they might have said, what are we going to eat? If you're worried about the question, if you're worried about a lack of faith, if you're worried about people wondering aloud how they would survive, that should have been addressed right away. Why did it get delayed all the way until nearly the end of this chapter? V'habir v'zeh. So here is a very, very interesting explanation from the Rebbe, where he reads this question differently than virtually everybody had read it up until now. If you ask the average student of the Chumash, what is this question? What would they tell you? It's a question, how are we going to survive? People might ask the question. So the Torah here is in advance answering the question. Why wait till the question gets asked? If you know it's going to get asked, just answer the question right away. People are probably going to say X, Y, and Z. Relax, we got it covered. It's not a problem. So the Rebbe says, Miloshen HaKosov, V'chi Toimru. V'chi means not when or if, but rather almost it'll come to pass. They will say. V'chi Toimru HaNeichol doesn't say V'im Toimru. It doesn't say and if they will ask. Mashma, the intimation is, Sha'akavona eni loimer shekayim chshash she'ela. There's not a question. Maybe there'll be Jews who are a little weak in the area of faith. And maybe out of lack of faith, they'll say, okay, I hear the mitzvah, but how are we going to do this? And this is the question that might arise. Elah HaMadubar Hi, it seems here to be speaking about She'ela She'tzipuya Lihishol Bevados. This is a certain question. How could you be so certain that the people are going to have a lack of faith? Maybe there'll be faithful generations. Maybe the people won't ask any questions. Maybe. There have been faithful generations. There have been good generations. Maybe there's going to be a generation that asks no questions. Whatever you say, Moshe Rabbeinu Torah, no problem. But the Torah almost like encourages this question. The Torah says yes, and in response to the question, not and if there'll be a question. And so the Rebbe suggests the following. Yeshlumbeid, we might learn into this and read it as follows. Kavanas hakosov eino l'sha'ela sheyeshba safkonos biyachas le'efsharis l'kayim es mitzvah shmita kehalocha tikil chasa. This is not a doubt. How are we going to do this? You think we can really keep Hashem's mitzvahs? Come on, get real. You got to make a living. You got to eat. God can't ask, can really expect us to follow these laws. It's not going to work. It's really unfair for the Torah to suggest that by Bnei Yisrael there will always be a matziv ruchni yorod. There's always going to be spiritual malaise. There's always going to be religious weakness. So much so that we will doubt the commandment of God all the time. I'll give you an interesting example. Not working for one day a week was unheard of in antiquity, and even in recent modern times. The weekend is basically a development, a Western development, that takes itself from the Torah, from the idea of Shabbos. In antiquity, they laughed at Jewish people. They called them lazy for taking a day off. People don't take days off. In the ancient civilizations, be they the civilizations of Eurasia, civilizations of China, civilizations of Rome, of Greece, they had like a week of a holiday at some point. But otherwise, people worked all the time. Every week you don't work. Who does that? And if you look at the things that Haman said, the Medrash says, Haman recorded his ideas were, how is it possible that we have this lazy people living amongst us? Today it's Pesach, today is Shavuos, today is Shabbos, they're always taking a vacation. That's what they said about us. So where in the Torah does it say, when Moshe Rabbeinu will tell the Jewish people, they have to keep Shabbos, the Jewish people will say, Rabbi, how do you expect us to make a living? I'm in retail. You know, retail, Saturday, big day of business. How do you know that? How are you going to make a living? How could you make that demand of us? Incidentally, many people have asked the question. Many people still ask the question. Did the Torah ever come along and say, and if you'll say, how will I make a living? God says, I'll give you enough blessing and 6 days of work that you'll be able to have a seventh day off. Does it say that anywhere in the Torah? It doesn't. Why? Because what every single yid's going to say, how can I keep Shabbos? There'll be many yidden who will keep Shabbos. Yes, there will be people who won't keep Shabbos, unfortunately. This has been the story of our people. But to assume with certitude that there are people who are not going to keep Shabbos? Why would you say that? And in fact, the Torah doesn't say it. Where does the Torah say it? Here by Shemitah. Here the Torah says, the question will come and the people will say, what? A year off? How are we going to do this? And it's very difficult to suggest this, because one day a week, okay. A whole year, that's a bigger deal. It is a bigger deal, but there's lots of people who don't keep Shabbos either. And that's the excuse they give. So if we're talking about weakness of faith, and we're talking about doubt of the ability to be able to keep the mitzvahs, then it should have been said about a lot of mitzvahs. And there are many other mitzvahs that people don't want to keep for a variety of reasons, saying we won't have what to eat. The point is this. When the Torah suggests this is the question that's going to be asked, this is the question, it's not a question of if it'll be asked, it's a certainty. This is the question. How do we respond to this question? Do you know what the Rebbe says? The Rebbe learns a unique pshat here. He says, the kavanahi is l'sheila iyunis bilvad. This is not a question as in, how could this be? But rather it's a question of, how will this be? How will this be? In other words, wow. So we're not going to work for a whole seventh year? Interesting. How are we going to eat? I know we're going to eat, but how? Just curious to know how God plans to do this. So, for example, we could say, is he going to give us manna from heaven? I mean, this is people who are eating the manna. Moses, wow. So you mean when the manna ends, it's going to come back every 7 years? How exactly is it going to be that we're going to be able to survive? Well, we have so much money, we go to other countries and buy food. How are we going to survive? In other words, we could say, Sha'ayla zumefiya dafke kan, the Sha'ayla comes over here. Only here, in these after these psukim. Why? Ilo hayamadar b'sha'ayla, hamatila sofek, be'ef shariyas ki yumash al mitzvah zashmita. Were we talking about a question, which is a lack of faith? Where people said, really? How are we going to do that? How could that be? I don't think it's as mitzvah possible. So then indeed, it should have shown up earlier. Should have shown up right by the mitzvah. But because the question is not if, but the question is how. Very big difference. So it doesn't come in a continuation to the laws of Shemitah, because as we said, the people are going to keep it. There'll be people who will accept the will of Hashem. That's what God wants. We're going to do it. Here you hear, so you think, you know what, we'll be on a starvation diet. That's what God wants. He wants us to lose weight. We'll all be emaciated. We'll squeak by. We'll have rations. We'll chew earth. I don't know. We'll get, if that's what God wants, we'll do it. But then a Yid reads over here these unbelievable blessings that you're going to be eating and to satiation, and the whole world will be jealous of you. But don't worry, they won't invade your land. And if you have all these amazing blessings of Israel. So the question, really? It's going to be that good? So we would think, you know, we're going to be the starvation nation, and nobody will be jealous of us because they say, well, you want to be Jewish? You have to starve every 7 years. Every 7 years, they all tighten their belts and the suits are too big on them. So, all right, what are you going to do? That's what God wants. Do what he asks. But here we're hearing that the land of Israel is going to be absolutely unbelievable. And on the contrary, as a result of keeping the Shemitah, the prosperity of Israel will absolutely be booming. So the people say, wow. How's he planning to make that happen? Like, how's that going to be? Because it's a Sheila Yunus. The Sheila Yunus of how only comes after you hear how amazing it's going to be. So really? That good? Everything's going to be Gevaldik? Yeah, okay. How is God planning to do that? Just out of curiosity. And after the Torah promises all these wonderful things, so then he says, and then you'll be, but now Moshe says, you must be wondering, how indeed is it going to be so prosperous? And his answer is, no. It's not going to be open miracles. It's not going to be manna. How will it be? I'll tell you how it's going to be. It's going to be v'tzivisiyas b'chasi lachem. Hashem says you'll have extraordinary prosperity, such an economic boom, such an amazing yield in the sixth year that you'll see it'll tide you over the seventh year into the eighth year. And that is the answer to the question. The question is, how will it be? And God says, what's the problem? I'll give you enough prosperity in the previous years to tide you over until you're planting again. And so it was, my dear friends, and so it shall be. As long as we follow the will of Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, leave it to him. He'll find a way to give us the prosperity we need. We'll have what to eat, and there'll be leftovers too.
From a practical sense, how does Israel deal with Shemitah? Do they import everything? Fruit and vegetables?
You can close.